Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, All Saints Day. All Saints Day is the memorial day of the church, the day the church memorializes, remembers in faith her heroes, her martyrs, and all those who have died in the faith before us. Not just the Hall of Fame, but also the utility players and the bench players, the whole lot of them. The church remembers and gives thanks to God for them. All Saints' Day is about the now and the not yet. In the life of the believer, there is both the now and the not yet. What is seen is now. What is not seen is not yet. There is the now of faith and the not yet of sight. All Saints' Day embraces both. The now, we feebly struggle, the not yet. They in glory shine. The now of this life of tribulation and hardship and persecution and suffering and death, and the not yet of the life to come. In the Revelation, St. John was given to see what is not seen and to hear what has not been heard, a kind of sneak peek into the heavenly realms, as though heaven were opened and he could peer into it and perceive what no eye has seen and no ear has heard. What he heard was a number, 144,000. Not a number to be counted, a number to be believed. A perfected Israel, 12 times 12 to a perfect 1,000. A perfected 12,000 from each and every tribe of a perfected Israel not heard of in the Old Testament. If you notice, and you know your Old Testament history, the tribe of Dan is missing, not counted. The rabbinic tradition held that the anti-Messiah, the enemy of Israel, would come out of the tribe of Dan. And so in Dan's place, Joseph. In Old Testament, Joseph was represented by his grandsons, but in this heavenly Israel, Joseph now takes his place with his brothers. The Israel that John saw is no Israel that ever was on the face of this earth or ever will be. It is the Israel that God has made, and that's the number that John heard. What John saw was a great multitude that no one could number. Same thing, but this is what he saw. This is how that perfected 144,000 of Israel looked to John's eyes. People from every nation, from every tribe of people, from every race of people, from every language on the earth. An all-inclusive Israel, a Catholic Israel, standing before Christ, the Passover Lamb, waving palm branches in an eternal feast of tabernacles, crying out with one voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And with them the angels and the 24 elders representing Old and New Testament Israel, and the four living creatures representing the whole creation before God, worshiping God with a perfected sevenfold benediction, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The question that surrounds this vision is, who are they? Who are these white-robed people? Who is this perfected Israel waving palm branches before the Lord? And the answer is this: these are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes. and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For John's hearers, they were their fellow believers, their friends and their family of their congregations, who died confessing Jesus to be Christ and Lord. They were members of the seven congregations of Asia Minor to whom John was writing while he was in exile on account of the word on the island of Patmos. Those who were suffering persecution and hardship and loss and even death because of the name of Jesus. The vision is intended for their comfort and for their strengthening. They died in great tribulation, but they are fine. And they are safe, sheltered by God himself, shepherded by the Lamb who is the good shepherd, Jesus, whose blood cleanses them of every sin, and every sadness and every sorrow and every pain has now ended for them. The tribulation is over. Every tear has been wiped away from their eyes by the hand of God. And yet for John's readers, for those who received this very strange letter from their bishop and pastor, which we call the Revelation, the time of tribulation continued, as it continues even for us today here 2,000 years later. If you need a name and a face, then I suggest you think only of a young 34-year-old pastor named Yusuf Nadarkhani. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but he is imprisoned in Iran. And he is being pressured by Iranian officials to renounce his Christian faith and return to the Muslim faith of his parents. You see, his parents being Muslim, and he born into a Muslim family, is considered a Muslim. And so having become a Christian, he is a heretic, and he is facing a death penalty under Islamic law for turning his back on Islam. He's considered an enemy of Islam. Today, 2,000 years later, the same thing. And he won't be the last one in that region of the world which so conveniently forgets its Christians because they have no political power in the Middle East, forgetting the fact that our Lord himself walked on Middle Eastern soil. And don't you think for a moment that we are immune here in secular America. And yes, it is secular America in which we live. And I'm not talking about personal safety, and I'm not talking about political clout either. I'm talking about the cross of Jesus and the suffering that necessarily comes with the confession of his name. When Jesus stood as the new Moses on his mountain to teach his disciples, he was preparing them for the reality of living in that in-between time between his death and resurrection and our death and resurrection, between the now and the not yet. When he pronounced his 9 benedictions over his disciples in the hearing of the crowds, those benedictions were all couched in the form of now and not yet. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, blessed are those who are now poor before God, who have nothing to offer God, who are entirely dependent upon God, who are beggars before him. Now they are blessed by God. But wait, there's more. The kingdom of heaven will be theirs. Not yet. Now they are poor, but they will inherit the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now the disciple mourns. Now the disciple lives under the weight of sin, of death, of suffering, of loss. But wait, there's more. They will be comforted. Not now. Now they must mourn and grieve with hope for the day when God himself will wipe away every tear of sorrow from their eyes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now is the time of meekness, humility, lowliness, turning the other cheek, not seeking revenge, blessing the enemy, blessing those who persecute us, enduring hardship and loss, and yes, even death. But wait, there's more. Beginning to sound like an infomercial here. They shall inherit the earth. The earth that turned against them shall be theirs. Not now. Now they must endure. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why do they hunger and thirst? They have no righteousness. And they can't cook up any righteousness to feed themselves. This is precisely why they're poor in spirit. They hunger and they thirst. They are beggars now. But wait, there's more. They will be filled. They will be satisfied. Their emptiness will be filled by God himself, but not now. Now they must feel the pangs of hunger. Now they must feel the parchment of thirst for a righteousness that they do not have, that only God can supply. Blessed are the merciful. Now, those who give without any thought of gain, those who look with compassion on others and not upon themselves, but there's more, they will receive mercy. More mercy than they could ever have given in this life, they will receive, but not yet, not yet. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who seek God and his kingdom, which they do not now see. There's a promise, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who get in the middle of war. Those who stand in the breach, those who take the crossfire, those who take the risk to reconcile enemies, those who bring shalom to a peace to a world that knows no peace, they will be called sons of God because that's what he is, the Prince of Peace. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness. The persecuted, really? Seriously? Blessed? Yes, blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But not yet. And then the ninth one, the ninth benediction. It's as if Jesus takes his eyes off of his disciples and he looks directly at each one of us. You see, this last one has you in the crosshairs. Blessed are you. He's speaking to you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely, on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. You heard that right. Don't write your congressman. Don't fill out petitions. Don't go screaming about Christian rights. Rejoice and be glad. When you're treated like that young pastor in prison in Iran, rejoice, be glad. Glenn, remember that. You're a marked man now. Marked by the cross of the one who was crucified to save you. You can expect big trouble now in this life. Big trouble. And I say this to everyone. To the person coming back to church after a long absence. To the curious seeker looking for something that he or she does not know but knows he or she does not have. To fill that empty void, to the person coming to baptism, you will be blessed. Oh, this is sure. But that blessing will come hidden in with and under great tribulation, great trouble. Just as Christ appears in this world weak and crucified and helpless, so the church appears in this world weak and persecuted, a bunch of deluded losers. Don't expect this life to be easy. Don't expect a divine bailout for your problems. Don't expect a miracle lurking around every corner. Don't expect every prayer to be answered your way. This is not Burger King. This is the kingdom of heaven. Expect to feel your spiritual poverty. Expect to mourn. Expect to be treated like a doormat in this world. Expect to be persecuted in response to your mercy, to your peacemaking, to your purity of heart. Expect others to mock you for your purity of heart. They don't give Nobel Prizes for being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The world will praise the likes of Mother Teresa, yes, for her work among the poor and the leprous of India, great as it was. They will praise her for renouncing her rich life and for living a life of poverty, but they will not praise her, and they will conveniently forget her confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The prophets before you were persecuted. Nearly every prophet in the Old Testament was martyred, some at the hands of their own people. All but one of the apostles, John, was martyred. Expect trouble now. In fact, be suspicious when things are going well. That's the quiet before the storm. But know this, great is your reward in heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will inherit the earth. You will receive the righteousness that you hunger and thirst for. You will receive mercy from a merciful God. You will be called sons of God. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Those who have gone the way of faith ahead of us, who have died in the faith, they now have all of this in a way that we don't have. There now is our not yet. And yet, in a wonderful and a mysterious way, we are united with them in Christ. We are one with them. They and we together worship the Lamb, they by sight, we by faith. That Lamb whose blood washes our sins and makes our robes of righteousness white as the newly fallen snow. We had joy of a baptism today. It's always a great joy. Another martyr has been made by God. Yep, a martyr, a witness. Baptism is your death certificate. Or don't you know that those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? In baptism, God declares each of you dead to sin, dead to death, dead to the law, but alive to him in Christ Jesus. And your death is simply catching up with your baptism. And then the not yet of faith becomes the eternal now of life with God, who will wipe every tear from your eyes. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.